In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. We welcome you to our Perseverance family. And as always, let's turn to the Blessed Virgin Mary, who is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church, and Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. And we also cry out to Mary, and the Hail Holy Queen, Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Let's turn to Mary and ask her to pray for us, to walk with us, to encourage us, to guide us, to help us to love her Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Let's ask now our spiritual director to be with us. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. Among the many names, the Holy Spirit would be the Paraclete. Also, he's known as the Gift of Gifts. He's known also as the Counselor. He's also known as the Consoler. St. Paul says this, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means Father. The Holy Spirit is also the mutual bond of love between the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit is the interior master. He teaches us. The Holy Spirit is also the Paraclete. And within us, the beautiful title that we pray in the sequence of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is the sweet guest of the soul. So let's humbly, with a lot of trust, invite the Holy Spirit to accompany us in our Perseverance family talk as we sing to the Holy Spirit. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, all afresh on me, melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Now on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Fall afresh on us. Fall afresh on us. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael, Saint Raphael, Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Faustina, pray for us. Saint Robert Bellarmine, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. To welcome you all to our Perseverance Family conversation, I'd like to just conclude what we were talking about yesterday. Yesterday, we made a long commentary, conversation, on 1 Corinthians 13, which is possibly the most beautiful, eloquent explanation of the virtue of charity. And of all the virtues that we can practice, the virtue of charity is the greatest. And St. Paul gives a long list describing what charity is. In the limited time that I had, I was able to explain some of the characteristics or attributes of charity. Charity is patient. I spoke about the fact that we have to be patient. We have to be patient with God, patient with others, and patient with ourselves. I also said that St. Paul was saying, love is kind. I suggested that you look into the book by Father Lavasic on kindness by Sophia Press. St. Francis Sales says we can attract more flies with a teaspoon of honey than with a barrel of vinegar. We mentioned also that love is not jealous. We spoke about the real danger of jealousy and envy, how sin entered into the world through the envy of the devil. Then throughout the course of the Bible, we're able to see various manifestations of jealousy and envy, and how it wreaks havoc in the lives of those who give in to it. Cain basically killed Abel because he gave in to jealousy and envy. Maybe remember Joseph and his brothers. Joseph was sold as a slave into Egypt because his brothers were jealous and envious. Then King David, who was ascending in importance, the Jewish handmaids were singing, Saul has killed his thousands and David has killed his 10,000s. And Saul was so filled with jealousy and envy that he tried to kill David. And finally, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was put to death. Partially, possibly mostly because of jealousy of the scribes, the chief priests, and the elders, because they were supposed to be the experts in the law. They saw this young carpenter who had no formal education preaching and teaching, carrying out miracles, and the crowds were hanging on his words. So Jesus himself was put to death because of the jealousy and the envy of the chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees. I mentioned the fact that this jealousy can enter into our homes. Sibling rivalry between brothers and sisters can be manifest, and the root cause is jealousy. And even we as adults, we can give in to this, especially when we start to compare ourselves to others, keeping up with the Joneses, as they used to say. We compare ourselves to others. Maybe a friend of ours that went to school with us, a friend with a friend for many years. We notice she has a bigger house, a bigger car, a happy family. And we live in a small house, don't have a car. We're struggling with our children. We start to compare ourselves to that woman and we become jealous. Then what happens? We start to badmouth her. Become a chismosa, gossip, We shouldn't do that. Because that takes away our peace and it takes away charity from our souls. So one way in which we can overcome jealousy is by an attitude of gratitude, in which we see this friend of ours, instead of bad-mouthing this friend, we thank God for her gifts, we compliment her, even though that's difficult. We compliment her. There's a story in the life of a saint that you probably don't know too much about. His name is Saint John Berkman, a Flemish saint from Belgium. He died when he was about 20. He's one of the patron saints of the Oblates. He lived in the community with brothers and priests. What he did was he wrote down the names of the brothers and priests in his community. And next to each one of them, he wrote a virtue, and he thanked God for that virtue. Father Paul, a good preacher, thanks be to God. Father Andrew, a good catechist, thanks be to God. Father Matthew, a good confessor, thanks be to God. Father Philip, a keen sense of humor, thanks be to God. Brother Brother Thomas, a great cook. After each one of those, he wrote a virtue. There was only one person that was not on the list, and that was himself. And his name is Saint John Berkman. You might even do that. Write the names of the members in your family and write down a virtue that you are aware that they have. And turn that into a litany of thanksgiving and praise. Thanking God for the virtues of the members in your family. Okay, I'd like to conclude our conversation on 1 Corinthians 13, where St. Paul says at the end of our lives, faith, hope, and charity, the greatest of these is charity. And St. Thomas Aquinas, the angelic doctor of the church, makes this comment, that charity is the queen of all virtues. We define charity as willing the good of the other. And the greatest good we can will for another person is the salvation of his soul. And he says also at in the end of our life, when we die, and we go to heaven, we will no longer have faith or hope. But charity, yes. Faith gives way to vision, the beatific vision of the Blessed Trinity. Hope gives way to possession. God will possess us, and we will possess God. But charity remains forever. How holy are you right now? A professor that I had in Rome said, you're as holy as the most intense act of charity you can make right now. Your holiness, the thermometer of holiness, can be measured how much you love. How much you love God, and how much you love your neighbor. So my friends, if we really want to grow in charity, I'm going to tell you the shortcut. Many ways where we can fortify, strengthen our spiritual muscles. These are called spiritual exercises that we're carrying out. Many ways. Many ways. But it's probably best to choose the shortcut. Your holy hour in preparation for Holy Mass. I repeat. Your holy hour in preparation for Holy Mass would be the best way in which you can grow in charity. If you look on the wall behind me, you can see there's a beautiful picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. He's part of our family, so is Mary, so is Saint Joseph. This is a perseverance family that we're forming. But getting back to charity, Jesus said, I've come to cast fire on this earth, and I'm not at peace until there's fire being kindled. Fire. You can see that his heart is surrounded by fire. So if we really want to skyrocket in our love for God and for neighbor, you make your holy hour, and then you go to Mass, and you receive Holy Communion. When you receive Holy Communion, you receive the body, the blood, the soul, the divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, I repeat, you receive the body, the blood, the soul, and the divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you receive his body. You receive his body, and that means you receive his mind, and you receive his sacred heart. If you receive communion with purity of heart, humility, confidence, hunger and thirst, and what's going to happen is, depending upon your disposition, there will be an explosion of love in your heart, like an explosion. How big will the explosion be? Depending upon how much you open up your heart to God, because God is limitless. God is infinite. God has no limitations as we do. So if we really want to live out 1 Corinthians 13 to the max, make your holy hour. And after your holy hour, go to Mass. Going to Mass, participate fully, actively, consciously in the greatest prayer in the whole universe, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And we're having a good disposition of heart, open up your heart. And after you receive Holy Communion, this is a beautiful prayer. Lord, I love you. Help me to love you more and more. It's said that at the end of the life of St. Thomas Aquinas, I'm always quoting St. Thomas Aquinas because we're here also to learn our theology, and he's the greatest theologian. St. Thomas Aquinas, at the end of his life, he had a vision of Jesus on the cross. And Jesus said, Thomas, you've written well. You've written well. What would you like? If Jesus appeared to you and said to you, well done, faithful servant, what gift would you like? What would you ask Jesus for? Hopefully not money, power, prestige, fame, long life, pleasure. Most people would ask for that. Those who live in a materialistic pagan world, they'd ask for temporal goods, temporal power, and pleasure, and fame. St. Thomas didn't ask for any of that. St. Thomas Aquinas asked for 1 Corinthians 13. He said, Lord, give me the grace to love you more and more each day. I pray that that will be your prayer, that that will be my prayer. Let's pray that we love Jesus, love the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Mary and the angels and saints more and more each day. So, my friends, charity. Charity is the supernatural virtue that's the greatest. St. Paul says, seek the greatest, and that is love. So as the man approached Jesus and said, Lord, what is the greatest of all commandments? Jesus responded very clearly. Jesus said, the greatest of all commandments is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, then to love your neighbor as yourself. Who are those that teach us how to love God? Who are our examples, our stars, our lights? They are our friends, and they are the saints. So today, Yesterday we celebrated St. Cornelius and Cyprian. Today we celebrate another great saint. And the name of this saint is St. Robert Bellarmine. Spanish Bellarmino. St. Robert Bellarmine. Let's talk a little bit about him, and then I'd like to immerse herself in the riches of the Word of God. And see that these saints were the ones that really lived out 1 Corinthians 13. They really lived out the gospel. Therefore, the Catechism of the Catholic Church says that these saints can help us in many ways, but especially two ways. The saints can pray for us. Their power of intercession. They're God's friends and our friends. We have to get to know the saints. The Beatles used to sing, "Get a little help from my friends." Get a little help from my friends. Well, I'm sure that Paul McCartney was not thinking about what I'm thinking about, but our friends are the saints. And the saints serve as models for us to imitate. Yes. They serve as models for us to imitate. That's why we try to give you a brief summary of the saints when we celebrate their feast day. Saint Robert Bellarmine. He was born on October 4th, which would be the feast day of Saint Francis, in Italy, 1542. And he died 1621. He's born when Saint Ignatius is still living. And this is the time of the Protestant Reformation. It's a time also of the Battle of Lepanto, which is the battle between the Catholics and the Muslims in the Gulf. He's living in a very difficult time. So we're living in a very difficult time. We have to call out to St. Robert Bellarmine to help us. He was a very small man. He'd have to stand on like a box when he was preaching the pulpits of Europe. He was a very small man. But he was a giant in other ways. He was the third of 10 children in a very noble family where prayer and serving others were very important. So he had good parents. Big family, one of 10, where they would pray and try to help out the poor. So when he was about 18, he entered into the Jesuits. But his mother, a very holy woman, she told him, "Be careful. Be careful. Because the devil of pride and vanity can get the best of us." His uncle was the Pope, Marcello II. So he went to school in Montepulciano, which is close to Tuscany, and he was the most brilliant student. He was a brilliant student. And let's pray for ourselves and our children that we would cultivate our intellect. It's one thing that Robert Bellarmine will teach us. God has given us a mind. He's given us an intellect. Let's try to study and to form and to cultivate our mind. One of the biggest disasters in the life is when you have a young person that has a keen intellect, but he's lazy. May God save us from being lazy and not cultivating our talents, not cultivating the gifts that God has given to us. God has given us all gifts, and one is that of the gift of a mind, and we're called to use the mind that God has given us to the best extent possible. So his mother insisted that he do not give in to pride or vanity. And he followed that advice. Another thing in the life of many saints, and this can be an encouragement to us, is often the saints don't have the best of health. Even though he's going to live to be almost 80 years, his health was really not that good, and sometimes he'd have to take breaks to recover his health in the fresh air of Italy. So let's pray that God would help us physically, but intellectually, but physically. Do all we possibly can to be strong. But if God allows some physical limitation, trust that God will help us. Okay, then Robert Bellarmine, he was a great teacher. He was a great teacher, a great professor. He taught at the Roman college, today is called the Gregorian. Whenever he was teaching, the room would be packed because of his great eloquence. Not only his own eloquence, but he was very spiritual. He was very holy. And he had a prodigious memory. He could memorize verses from Virgil and other poets. You might even say he probably had a photographic memory. But something happened as a preacher that changed his life. And I think this is a challenge for us as priests, because the two principal obligations of the priest is to pray and to preach. What I'm doing now, we started by praying with you, now preaching the Word of God. He would rely in his preaching upon quoting the authors up to his time. He's living in the 16th century, 16th, 17th century. One day, he was called to preach and he didn't have his notes prepared. He'd prepare himself well. So he had an idea. Why not preach this topic by simply utilizing the Bible? So he just used the Bible in all the different verses that were present in the Bible, the Word of God. What happened was, not only before that was he a superb teacher, but his teaching and preaching skyrocketed from that moment on. That's a challenge for all of us. And what God is saying through St. Robert as well as Father Broom is that we have to immerse ourselves in the riches of the Word of God. Like the Blessed Virgin Mary, like St. Robert, like St. Augustine, like St. Thomas Aquinas, we have to ponder, meditate, read the Word of God every day. In the Catechism of the Catholic Church, now we're going through the numbers, we speak about the Word of God is the Bible. It comes from the Holy Spirit himself. So we want to pray for that we have, remember the devil told Jesus to turn stones into bread. Jesus said, man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. We should have a real hunger for the Word of God. We should read the Word of God. We should meditate the Word of God. Should try to memorize certain verses from the Word of God. We should try to love the Word of God. We should try to preach the Word of God. We should try to put in practice the Word of God. So Saint Robert, it was a providential accident that he didn't have his notes prepared and he thought that he would wing it, so to speak, allow the Holy Spirit to take possession of him, and he utilized the Word of God, and it turned out to be among one of his greatest gifts, a preacher, basing his preaching upon the Word of God. Okay, what happened in his time was, you have to understand the historical context. He's living the time of Henry VIII, where England is being turned into Protestant. He's living in a time where Martin Luther in Germany is leaving the Catholic Church and forming what is called the Lutheran Church. He's living in a time where Calvin in Switzerland and Zwingli in Melanchthon, they're leaving the Catholic Church. And many of these are priests, except for Henry VIII. They're leaving the Catholic Church. They're forming a Protestant church, and the Protestant church is confusing. It's confusing. Many of the Catholics, and many of the Catholics are leaving the Catholic Church to become Protestants. It's interesting, it's happening today. Did you know that most Mormons used to be Catholics? Did you know that most Jehovah Witnesses used to be Catholics? Did you know that many Protestants, especially in Los Angeles, they used to be Catholics? So what happened in the time of Robert Bellarmine, many Catholics leaving the faith, is happening today. What did Robert Bellarmine do? The Pope, recognizing his keen intellect, asked Robert to defend the Catholic Church. And what he did was, Robert Bellarmine spent his time in writing. And he wrote these two books. He wrote the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And then another one, so that the Catholic Church could be explained very clearly. He's living at the Council of Trent, and they're formulating little by little the Catechism of the Council of Trent. But Robert's going to be hammering out catechisms which are very clear. And that's why we're studying the Catechism of the Catholic Church, so we can get to know our faith better and better. But also, he wrote what was called the controversies. Now, what does this, the controversies, mean? Well, there was a series of books, I think there were 8 altogether, which were basically a defense, a written defense of the Catholic Church against Protestantism. There's interesting stories about this, that some of the Protestants, when they got hold of what he wrote, they were scared. Some of the Protestants would say that they never read something that was so clear, a clear defense of Catholicism. They felt that if anyone gets a hold of his writings, they're lost. Then a funny little incident happened that, and it was already being translated in many languages. It arrives in England in English. And a man who was suffering poverty because he wasn't selling his books, once those books of Bellarmine arrived in England, he became rich almost overnight, because people started to read and devour those books. And then, of course, by his preaching and teaching, he was very eloquent and powerful. an anointed preacher, defending the papacy, defending the Eucharist, defending confession, defending the sacraments against the attacks of the Protestants. Then something happened that he really didn't want. And one of the reasons why he became, I forgot to mention this, he became a Jesuit. He entered in the company of Jesus. One of the reasons why he entered, following the advice of his mother, he wanted to flee from any type of vanity, popularity, applause, or praise. So, the Jesuits have, in part of the rule of the constitutions is they cannot accept to be a cardinal or a bishop. That's part of the rule. But what happened was the Pope at that time said that he wanted Robert to become bishop, then to become archbishop, then cardinal. Robert denied, and he said no, because that's part of our rule. And the Pope said, look, I'm the head of the church. I'm the head of the church. I can dispense you from that rule. And the Pope said, if you don't obey me, you're going to be committing a mortal sin. So against his will, Robert Bellarmine becomes bishop, archbishop, and cardinal. And he carries out his mission as archbishop and cardinal to an incredibly holy degree. Couple other details. Sometimes the saints work together with other saints. He ended up by being a spiritual director to another Jesuit who would become a saint. And his name was Saint Luis Gonzaga. He gave him advice. And Saint Luis Gonzaga died when he was about 20 years old. Bellarmine outlived his prodigy. And Bellarmine said, when I die, I want you to bury me right next to him. He was my companion. And then Bellarmine said, look, this is my last testament. Give all my possessions away to the poor. I want my funeral to be at night so that not many people show up. This they accepted, to have his funeral at night, but there are many, many, many people that came to his funeral. And then Robert Bellarmine was canonized a saint, and he is a doctor of the church. So let's learn this from Saint Robert Bellarmine. Number one, that we love God. That we'll be able to put into practice 1 Corinthians 13. We'll love God and not seek our own self-aggrandizement. We'll love God and try to be humble. Number two is that he had a keen intellect. All of us have a mind. Let us beg for the grace and strive to do all we possibly can to cultivate the mind that God has given to us. Third, let's pray that we read the Word of God. Robert Bellarmine fell in love with the Bible and he preached the Bible. Let's pray that we would read the Bible, meditate the Bible, contemplate the Bible, memorize the Bible, and live the Bible, live the Word of God. So to be faithful to our holy hour every day. Let's pray that like him, we'd get to know our catechism. He wrote two catechisms. We're studying the catechism together. Now let's pray like Patrick Madrid. Robert Bellarmine was an expert in apologetics to be able to really defend our Catholic faith. And then, like Robert Baylor of mine, let's pray for the grace to accept the responsibilities that God has given to us and to carry them out well. Many of you are, you're married, you have responsibilities with your husband, you have responsibility as parents. some of you are grandparents. Pray for the grace to carry out your responsibilities in imitation of Saint Robert Bellarmine, Doctor of the Church. Saint Robert Bellarmine, pray for us. My friends, right away, I like to jump into the riches of the Word of God, and I like to go invite you to meditate upon 1 Corinthians that we're meditating upon. But I'd like to jump to our gospel reading today. It's a longer reading, and I'd like to just to paraphrase this wonderful gospel, and as I'm paraphrasing it, explaining it, let's beg for the grace to be able to glean, derive spiritual riches from the gospel. See the Word of God, my friends, like a gold mine. And the more we go deeper into the Word of God, the more nuggets of gold, gold nuggets for our minds and our hearts that God wants to give to us. This is a beautiful, beautiful passage. And the Gospel of St. Luke is known, one of the qualities of the Gospel of St. Luke is the Gospel of mercy. Mercy towards sinners. So here's the gospel passage. I'll go through it, paraphrasing it, but pulling out spiritual nuggets for us. So Jesus, he's invited one night to have a dinner, to dine with a Pharisee whose name was Simon. So Jesus enters into the Pharisee's house, and he's surrounded by people. Now, the way that they would eat was they would be reclining, and they would be eating with their right hand, and their feet would be spread out. And when a Pharisee would invite a teacher like Jesus, often they'd invite other people. So that the teacher like Jesus would be eating, but he'd be talking. He'd be talking, and his talking would be instructive. Imagine having a meal with Jesus Christ. And the house was opened. And what happened was there was a woman, a sinful woman of the city, you might call her a prostitute, who was known by many to have that sinful profession. She comes in. Now, women of the time of Jesus, I should maybe mention this. When you have a guest that is invited, the details of hospitality would be the following. This is in the Jewish culture. The person will be welcomed. His sandals or shoes would be taken off. A servant would pour cold water on the feet and wash the feet, the host would give them an embrace, a kiss. And they would sometimes put even oil on the head as a gesture of respect, courtesy, and friendship. So receiving, washing the feet, the kiss, and the ointment, the anointing. Those were gestures of hospitality. If they were not done, that would be a lack of real courtesy toward the guest. So Jesus comes in and Simon doesn't do that. Why he didn't do that, we don't know. But it will be understood in the context of what happens with this woman. So Jesus is reclining at the table. This woman comes in. Now what women would do back in the time of Jesus, they would carry around their necks. It would be like a bottle of alabaster. Alabaster or perfume. And the more money the woman would have, the more exquisite or extravagant would be that nard or perfume. So this woman, she is behind the feet of Jesus. Now what happened is women would have their hair kept. Her hair was disheveled. Her hair was done, which would be a sign of immodesty. But these are the gestures that the woman does. First of all, Simon did not provide water for Jesus. This woman is weeping profuse tears. And the tears of this woman, where are they falling? They're falling on the feet of Jesus. Yes. A river of tears are pouring from her eyes, falling, dripping on the feet of Jesus. And she was bathing his feet with her tears. That's incredible if you think about it. And she takes that bottle of nard and she anoints Jesus. And then she uses her hair. She uses her hair to dry the feet of Jesus. So these incredible gestures. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, weeping profuse tears, then the ointment to anoint the feet of Jesus, and she's weeping profusely. Now what happens? Simon, the Pharisee, knowing this to be a sinful woman, a prostitute, already he's reasoning in his mind. And what he's doing, he's already condemning this woman. He's condemning him in his mind and his heart. Jesus is able to read minds. You know, Jesus can read your mind. Did you know that? Jesus can read hearts. Did you know that Jesus reads your heart? He knows what's going on in the heart of Simon the Pharisee in his attitude of condemnation. So Jesus carries on the conversation with Simon. And he says, Simon, 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 I have something to say to you. And Simon says, well, tell me, teacher. And Jesus goes on to say that there were two people that had a debt to a certain creditor. One owed, excuse me, one owed 500 days' wages, the other owed 50. Since both of them were unable to repay the debt, the creditor decided to forgive both. There's a parable. Now Jesus asked Simon, which of the two of these will love him more? So Simon responds, the one, I suppose, whose larger debt was forgiven. Good response. And Jesus says, Simon, you've judged rightly. Then, as the woman is still there at the feet of Jesus, with her hair, her ointment, her tears, Jesus defends the woman. And he turns to the woman and said, you see this woman? He said, when I entered your house, you did not give me water for my feet, but she has bathed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but she has not ceased kissing my feet since the time I entered. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment. So what Jesus is doing, Jesus is, he's rebuking Simon. Simon was remiss. He was negligent in not carrying out what common hospitality would have required. Simon didn't do any of these gestures. So the negligence of Simon was filled in by this woman who was known to be the public sinner. And Jesus is not going to deny that she's a sinner, but she's going to say this. Excuse me. So I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven because she has shown great love. Isn't that beautiful? It's very beautiful. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little. I'd like to make a brief comment on that. Jesus said to Saint Faustina, the greatest sinners of the world can become the greatest saints, like that. I repeat, the greatest sinners of the world can become the greatest saints. And it can happen quickly. It can happen very quickly. God's grace is like an ocean We just have to open up our hearts to receive His infinite mercy. I'd like to repeat, because the worst sin that we can commit, as Jesus says to Saint Faustina, is really what Judas did. Peter failed Jesus. But like this woman, he turned back to Jesus and said, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Jesus did not reject Peter. Jesus did not reject this sinful woman. The greatest sinners can become the greatest saints if we trust. The greatest sin is lack of trust. Lack of trust in the love of Christ. Lack of trust in His mercy. His love and mercy endures forever. That's why the responsorial psalm, and many give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. That's the responsorial psalm. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. So even some of you in our Perseverance family might think, well, Father, my life has really not been that good. And I've come back to the Lord after the past few years, but, you know, my past life has not been very good. That comes from the devil. That comes from the devil. Here's a parallel to this woman, who was the first canonized saint. You know? Who was the first saint that was declared to be with Christ in heaven? It was the good thief. He turned to Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus forgave all of his sins. And he said, Amen, I say to you. Amen, I say to you. Today you will be with me in paradise. And the good thief stole heaven. And the good thief, he died a thief because he stole heaven. It's a beautiful passage, my friends. Jesus ends by saying, your sins are forgiven to this woman. Your sins are forgiven. The others at table said to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And Jesus said to the woman, what you can hear from the priest after you go to confession. Jesus says to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So my friends, in Jesus and Mary, we're all sinners. The just man falls seven times a day. We're all sinners. But as St. Paul says in Romans chapter 5, listen to these words of consolation. Where sin abounds, the mercy of God abounds all the more. Let us give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is great. Why? Because His mercy endures forever. I'd like to impart to you my priestly blessing, and I pray that all of you will experience the infinite mercy of Jesus Christ. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless all of you with His abundant mercy through the intercession of Mary, Queen of Mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.